course, you know that music means it's time for some World Cup news. And sitting in for Sonny Young today, we have the mighty Douglas Mpuga. What's on tap today, Douglas?
Well, Kim, we're kicking off with the World Cup in Brazil.
All righty.
Thank you. We are down to 2 matches left at the World Cup in Brazil. Argentine goalkeeper Sergio Romero saved 2 penalties in a shootout with Netherlands on Wednesday to take his country through to the World Cup final for the first time since 1990. Lionel Messi, Argentina beat the Dutch 4-2 in a penalty shootout after the semi-final in Sao Paulo finished goalless. They played Germany in Sunday's final in Rio de Janeiro. It was the second time that Holland, who lost the 2010 final to Spain, were beaten on penalties in a World Cup semi-final. They fell to Brazil in 1998. The result was a 4th win in 5 World Cup shootouts for Argentina, who will meet Germany in a repeat of the finals of 1986 and 1990. The Netherlands play Brazil on Saturday in the 3rd playoff. However, Netherlands coach Louis van Gaal says having to complete a World Cup 3rd place playoff match is unfair. The Dutch coach is not happy about this playoff, and he was quoted as saying, "This match should never be played. I've been saying that for 10 years. It's unfair." End of quote. Van Gaal, who is about to take over at Manchester United in UK, added, "There's only one award that counts, and that is becoming world champions." Nigeria has been suspended from all international football by FIFA amid allegations of government interference in its football federation. The ban means no Nigerian team, including club sides, can play internationally. FIFA had given Nigeria's government until Tuesday to reinstate the sacked Nigeria Football Federation NFF executive. The NFF was dissolved last week and replaced by a sole administrator. In a statement, FIFA, the world governing body, said the suspension will be lifted once the properly elected NFF Executive Committee, the Nigerian Football Federation General Assembly, and the Nigerian Football Federation Administration are able to work without any interference in the affairs. The most immediate effect is that Nigeria will not be entitled to participate in the upcoming Under-20 Women's World Cup, which starts on August 5th, should the suspension not be lifted by 15th July. VOA's Sonny Young sought out soccer guru David Legg for his reaction to Nigeria's FIFA suspension.
Yes, Sonny, this is a story we've had on the Voice of America so many times.
Voice of America!
Government stepping in, this time in the form of the Ministry of Sport, and basically sacking all the National Football Federation officials. And that's what Nigeria have done. They said this is as a result of their poor showing at the World Cup. I'm not so sure it was a poor showing. I think Nigeria achieved what I would call their minimum target, and that was to reach the second round. Of course, every Nigerian, and every African for that matter, wanted the Super Eagles to go further, much further in fact. But they weren't in disgrace. They had their chances against France before losing that match. Now, FIFA, of course, take great exception to government interference. As far as they're concerned, a non-negotiable. Governments don't interfere. And every time we've had one of these clashes in Africa between the government, the National Association, and FIFA, FIFA always win. The most immediate effect will be that Nigeria will be prevented from starting the defense of their African Nations Cup. They're in the same group as, ironically, South Africa. Who knows? Keshi up against his old team. There's also Sudan, and then there's the winners of a preliminary tie between Rwanda and Congo Brazzaville. If the Nigerians don't budge on this issue, Sonny, Nigeria will be disqualified from the Nations Cup qualifiers, and therefore, come Morocco next year, the Super Eagles will be nowhere to be seen.
David, Ivory Coast, like Algeria, now looking for a new national football coach. What's the latest?
Contrary to Giovanni Trapattoni, the 75-year-old Italian, Sonny, who told Italian radio that he had got the job, the Ivory Coast Football Federation, they beg to differ. What they are doing is they've set up a 5-man committee, which will include Yeo Martial. He's the former coach of the national team, and he's the only coach that led Ivory Coast to Nations Cup glory back in Senegal in 1992. Also in this panel is a former captain of the national team, Cyril Domerald, and they must come up with five names, the five people that they believe are best suited to replace Fabry Lamouchi, who really had to go. I think it was a bit of a calamity, really, that from a reasonable group, it wasn't easy, but it wasn't that difficult, Ivory Coast could not make the second round at the World Cup. A couple of other names that have been mentioned, Sonny, are Hervé Renard and also Avram Grant. Now, Avram Grant may not be that well known to some of our listeners around the continent. He is Israeli by birth, and he's a former coach of Chelsea in the English Premier League. Certainly, Hervé Renard would be an interesting choice. He did so well with Zambia, leading them to the Nations Cup in 2012. And also, Sonny, it would be ironic if he took over because he, of course, led the Zambian team to victory over the Ivory Coast in the 2012 final. Now, we've mentioned, Sonny, that Khalil Hodzic has gone, Lamouchi has gone, and, of course, Stephen Keshi has clarified his position. He says he didn't resign, that he was not offered a renewal of his contract. And following on from that, the South African Football Association issued a very stern denial of the fact that they had offered Keshi a 2-year contract. The president of the South African Football Association, Dr. Danny Jordan, said there was not an iota of fruit in the rumor that Stephen Keshi had been offered a 2-year contract. Keshi and the former Iran coach, Carlos Quiroz, a Portuguese, they are believed to be the favourites to succeed Gordon Eggeson in the South African hot seat.
That was soccer guru David Legg speaking to my colleague, Sunny Young. Now, the Confederation of African Football president, Issa Hayatou, has paid tribute to Somalia's first captain, Mohamed Khalaf Aden Shangole, who passed away on Tuesday. In a statement on the CAF website, Hayatou described Mohamed Shangole as an icon and legend of the Somalia game. Shangole was the country's first national team captain and went on to inspire many more players and Somalis with his contribution to the game behind his playing days. Shangole has been at Mogadishu Hospital for several days until he passed away on Tuesday. The first recorded national football team of Somalia in 1956 was captained by Shangole. In the same year, he led the team during the opening of the iconic Banadil Stadium in Mogadishu. Until his death, Shangole had been serving as the league advisor to the president of Somalia Football Federation. Now on to athletics. Double Olympic and world champion Mo Farah has pulled out of this weekend's Diamond League event in Glasgow because of illness. The 31-year-old was admitted to hospital in the USA with abdominal pain last week. Farah, who was due to race over 2 miles at Hampden Park, is having further tests in the UK this week, according to a statement issued earlier this week. However, he remains confident of being fit enough to compete at the Glasgow Commonwealth Games later this month. Farah confirmed in June he would compete for England in both the 5,000 metres and 10,000 metres at Glasgow 2014. Also, the Sainsbury-Glasgow Grand Prix, the ninth of the 2014 IAAF Diamond League meetings, is set for Friday and Saturday this week. Among the stars will be Kenyan David Rudisha in the men's 800 metres. 2 years ago, on August 9th, 2012, Rudisha produced what many regard as one of the greatest athletics feats of modern times, running solo to win the London 2012 Olympic Games gold in a barrier-breaking world record time. The memory of that extraordinary performance adds a certain air of anticipation to the 25-year-old's return to Britain this weekend. Temporarily switched from its traditional home in London, while the Olympic Stadium is reconfigured to accommodate football, The two-day meeting at Hampden Park is the first ever Diamond League event to be held in Scotland and doubles as a rather high-class test event for the Commonwealth Games, whose athletics program will be held in the same 111-year-old venue, itself a football ground rejigged for the occasion. The former world junior, two-time African, world and current Olympic champion will be racing on Saturday for only the third time this summer, following an injury curtailed season in 2013, and is looking to build on his victory in New York a month ago.
Hi, I'm Segun Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports, from the Africa Service of the Voice of America. Let the games begin. We got the game.
The IAAF World Junior Championships in Eugene, which will take place from 22nd to 27 July 2014, are on course to become one of the biggest gatherings in terms of participating IAAF member federations in the history of the championships. With the deadline of the final entries now closed, no fewer than 175 member federations have confirmed their participation in these championships. The most attended edition was Beijing 2006, where 176 countries gathered in the Chinese